1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter uses a very familiar term, both in the Old and in the New Testament. 1 Peter 1, verse 17 says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Now, the word I want you to notice in particular tonight is that word sojourning. It's an old English word. It refers to a traveler. It refers to a pilgrim who has temporarily focused his journey on a specific or particular area. In other words, a person is traveling. If he's traveling, let's say, from Miami all the way to Seattle, obviously he's going to stop along the way and rest and eat. Back in the old days, he might even get a job and do some work for a while. That stop along the journey is a sojourn. And in Bible days, that traveler would be called by those villagers and townspeople a sojourner. You know, it's a word, again, that's found several times in the Bible. We've preached on it. I use it specifically as a funeral sermon not too long ago. And in the Mosaic Law, God even set down certain instructions, specific commandments, aimed specifically at those who are and who are called sojourners. In Genesis 47, it says that the sons of Jacob came to sojourn in the land of Egypt. Hebrews 11 says that Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. That word sojourn, again, referring to a traveler who, passing through a certain area, temporarily stays in that area. That's exactly what makes this text, to me, in 1 Peter, so important and so appropriate. As you go through the scriptures and you look at this word and you look at all the verses in the Bible talking about sojourning in particular, you'll realize that this very rich and powerful word teaches us some important truths about who we are as God's people in this world. For example, the first thing I want us to consider tonight is that a sojourner is someone who has left a certain place. He has, by definition, departed from an old or previous location. Verse 14 says this, look at it, would you? "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Your former. I'm not going to go into a detailed explanation of this epistle for obvious reasons, but I will remind you that the basis of this entire letter was to remind believers that they are not what they used to be. That they are not, spiritually speaking, where they used to be either. You see, the word former there in verse 14 is an example of how Peter kept referring back to where Christians used to be. And of course, that's the way it is with any sojourner. A sojourner is a person who at some point in time has left a certain location behind him. When I was a teenager, our youth group had a theme verse and a theme song one year. It's one that many of you in this room know. It was called, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And of course, it was brand new to me. The first time I heard it, I thought, I love this chorus. Everywhere we went, camp, youth conference, visitation, when we were on the van or the bus, we would almost always sing that chorus. And I remember as a fairly new convert how striking the words were to that song at the end. "The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back." Now, wait a minute, the world behind me? Yep, as a teenager, I didn't know yet the theological definitions of the term world, but I knew what the song meant, and I knew that there were former things. The moment I got saved, the moment I accepted Christ at 12 years of age, there were some things that were now behind me, representative of the world. Because I knew that when I got saved, I became a sojourner, a pilgrim. I made a decision to leave. And therefore, to leave behind. Hebrews 11 talks about pilgrims on the wilderness journey. It says that had they been mindful of the old country, they might have had opportunity to return. In other words, a sojourner has a departing place from which he is never to return. He's supposed to leave that place behind. I wonder, when you got saved, if you recognized, if you embraced the truth, this world no longer is your home. That the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that this world is behind you. There's no turning back. A sojourner, number one, he's left one place. The second thing I want you to notice about a sojourner is, number two, he's in a temporary place. Now, maybe you're thinking, Pastor, how can that be? You just said the world behind me, and that is true. The Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the pride of life, that's behind you. But look, this earth, as you will, this life, this is your immediate sojourn in this world. So the Bible calls us ambassadors. It calls us pilgrims, ambassadors, someone in a foreign land on a temporary mission in that land. I'll put it this way. We've stated this before, but a fugitive is somebody who is running from home. A vagabond is somebody who has no home. A stranger is somebody who is away from home, but a sojourner is a person who's on his way home. Therefore, he is currently a temporary resident. Do you feel that way about yourself in this world? Or have you driven your tent pegs so deeply into this earth that if the rapture comes, they're going to have to yank you out of this planet? All your heart, all your investment, all your thoughts are down here. A sojourner knows that he's a temporary resident. His family knows it. Does your family know this? His neighbors all know it. The townsfolk know it. You see, they can see that a sojourner is not interested in making a name for himself or amassing any kind of a personal fortune, adopting and adapting to the local religion or the local culture. No, no, no. He is here primarily as a representative of another place, which is his home. So therefore, he's sojourning while he's here. And you know, in Bible times, New Testament Christians always viewed themselves as citizens of another place. They always saw themselves as pilgrims on this journey to home. And you know what happened? Their lifestyle represented that. People thought that they were otherworldly. They were called people of the way. They were different than the rest of the world. Verse 17, look at it. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here. Here it is. In fear. Wait a minute. Pass the time of our sojourning, Pastor. In fear? Yep. Peter's talking about the fear of God. He's talking about reverence and giving your fear and reverence to your heavenly Father, not to earthly man. He's talking about living in this world as citizens of another place, a place called heaven. In other words, your life and my life ought to show the world around us that we belong to another kingdom, not this kingdom. So that as a sojourner, you look, you talk, and you act more like the arrival place than the departure place. I've preached before that when you go on a trip, if you're leaving Florida and you're going to Alaska, you pack for Alaska. Especially if it's in January, you're getting ready for the arrival place. You know what? Christians ought to look and act and talk like people of the kingdom, people of where they're going, not where they came from before they got saved. Sojourner ought to act and look more like heaven than like this earth. There's an old poem that I read many years ago and I loved it. It kind of speaks to the idea about when we get to heaven, there will be some people there that will be surprised you're there, and other people there that you didn't expect to be there, and some that you thought would be there and were not. The poem says, I dreamt of heaven the other night. The pearly gates swung wide. And as I made my passage through, I looked around inside, and there to my astonishment, amongst those who had gone before, were some deemed as unfit to make it through that door. Words of censure rose in my throat, but never were set free, for I could tell from their surprise that no one expected me. You know, it ought to be that people expect that you'll be there because of the way you live down here. Little girl was taking a walk one night with her father, and the sky was especially clear, and she said, looking at the stars, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven can be so beautiful, what must the right side be? Now, folks, the wrong side of heaven, I'll tell you what, the little girl got her theology right. Because, in fact, in eternity's eyes, we're on the wrong side of heaven. I wonder how many of you have your theology right. How many of us in this room tonight correctly see ourselves on the wrong side of heaven? And as such, our life is more pleasing to heaven than it is to people in this world. But Pastor, you know, this sojourning, you're putting an emphasis on dying in the grave. The sojourning stuff makes me think of funerals and tombstones. Like the old mortuaries out in Texas, the answer to the phone, remember they'd say, city morgue, you kill them, we chill them, you stab them, we slab them, you whack them, we stack them, whatever they used to say, plug them, we plant them. Sojourning doesn't make me think of the grave. It doesn't make me think of tombstones and death. It makes me think of heaven and glory. You die, you fly. Amen? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. It brings us to the third point. Because a sojourner has left an old place. He's in a temporary place, according to the will of God, by the way. You are here for a reason, as we noted. But obviously, number three, finally, a sojourner is someone who is coming to a permanent place, an eternal place. Verse 3, look at it, would you? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Wow. You remember that text in Hebrews 11 we referred to a moment ago? You know, verse 9 there says, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. You know, the very next verse says that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So, you know, you Christians believe and sing about a place you've never been to. Why does a place you've never seen have so much appeal that about half the songs in your hymnal are about heaven? John Bally, in his book Everlasting Life, tells about his doctor in Scotland. He was making a house call way back in the day, and on this particular visit, the patient was on his deathbed, and the good doctor, who was a godly man, was giving him the gospel. The patient, who was a lifelong skeptic, said to this Christian doctor, sir, you've never been to this place called heaven. How is it that you can have such a desire, the twinkle in your eye as you tell me about it? And the doctor looked at his patient and he said, do you hear that noise downstairs? That's my dog. He has been patiently waiting for me and now he's lost his patience and you can hear him. He's never been inside this house. He has no idea what it's like, but he longs to come inside because there's one thing he does know. He knows that I am here. And sir, that's all I really need to know about heaven. I know that my master is there. And that's why we know and believe, whom having not seen ye love, the Bible says. We love him. Pastor, how did he know that? How did Abraham know that? Because God told him. The reason why Abraham left the comforts and livelihood, the prosperous soil of Mesopotamia where he was wealthy, is because God told him and he believed him. Hebrews 11:8 says, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive, he went, not knowing whither he went. In other words, he didn't know where it was, but he believed God. And I believe God tonight. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You see, had Abraham seen that land? No. I mean, did he have any postcards, any slides, any aerial photos, any triptychs from AAA, a glimpse from Google Earth? He didn't have anything. He had one thing. He had God's word on the matter and his promise. And for the friend of God, the word of God is all that's needed. So why did Abraham journey on? Genesis says, going on still. Why did he keep going? Because he believed God. I wonder if you believe God tonight. I wonder if you believe his son who said, in my father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Oswald Sanders used to tell about a little girl who came home from Sunday school and her daddy asked what the lesson was about. And she said, oh, Daddy, it was about a man named Enoch, a man who used to go for these long walks with God. Her dad said, that's a great story, honey. How does it end? And she said, oh, here's how it ends, Daddy. One day Enoch walked with God, and they walked, and they walked, and they walked, and finally God said, Enoch, you're a long way from your house. You might as well just come home and stay with me, and he did. Pastor, did she get the story right? Yeah, sounds about right to me, amen? This world, beloved, is our sojourn. It has been a joy for 25 years to sojourn with you. Others of our fellow sojourners are home and waiting. Mrs. Fike, Tom Jordan, as he mentioned earlier, Jerry Baker, Brother Gail English and Norma Wagaman, and Eileen Davidson, we saw on the slide. My dad, Louise's mom, Mary Bolognini, Carmen Horan, first funeral at Beacon Baptist Church, Brother Royal, the Davises that we saw there. And we could go on and on and on with people that sojourned with us who are home, and we will be home. Fellow sojourners who are here tonight, may we continue our sojourn well. May we look more and more like the arrival place. May we think and talk less and less like the departure place, as citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Shall we pray? Father, thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight for your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. In spite of weak and frail and foolish human beings, in spite of all of us in this room who fail you and who are not faithful, you are always faithful. Thank you, God, that you have given to us the promise of your word that we are sojourners, that by your grace we've left a place behind. And by your will, we are in a place temporarily. And by your promise, we're going to home for eternity. Please help us to be faithful. Thank you for those who have gone on before, who demonstrated faithfulness every day.